Good morning, folks. Hope you're having a great Friday. We're at 1322 24th Street at Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. If you have any questions about generators, how they work, how you go about looking at what's right for your home, this is a place to come today. We're out here. They have food. They have drink. They have all kinds of things. They have a live demonstration trailer that you can walk into and you can touch it, feel it, see it. Work through the process, gain a better understanding of as to how this works. Craig has left nothing to chance. He wants to make sure that you leave here fully informed about everything, full transparency, and that's what I love about him. And he's always concerned about the customer leaving happy. And I can tell you, he made my life real happy when he took over control of my generator, because I'm an idiot when it comes to all of that, and so I just hand over the keys and let him handle it, and it has worked well. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We will visit with Dr. Melissa Roussel, principal of St. Therese Academy. That's the old St. Mary Magdalene School. That's where they're located, and they have their third annual Phoenix Fest Car and Bike Show tomorrow. We'll talk about that. U.S. Representative Troy Carter joins us about he and some bipartisan support, a letter to the House and Senate Appropriations Committee looking for a robust and comprehensive supplemental appropriations bill relative to storm relief. So we'll talk to Representative Troy Carter, who was just recently reelected, and congratulations to him. Andronika Morris joins us at 11:30. Housing NOLA. We know that this 2% of the city's general fund initiative passed. It will be in the city charter. We'll talk about what they hope to accomplish there. U.S. Congressman Steve Scalise joins us, and we'll talk about the election on Tuesday. Still waiting to see where we are with the House of Representatives. Yes, it is Friday. Yes, it is 3 days after the election. And yes, they are still counting votes. And we still don't know the outcome. Yes, we can put a missile up in the air or a rocket up in the air. And yes, we can bring it back and land it. But no, we can't seem to engage in simple math and figure out how many votes have come in and not. So we'll talk to Representative Steve Scalise when we come back. I don't know about you guys. It's Friday, and I was hoping this was going to be over with Tuesday. Okay, Wednesday. It's Friday. It's still not over with, and I think we're going to be hearing about this through the weekend as well. Mike Haas joins us, voice of the New Orleans Saints. Saints versus Falcons preview, new head coach. We got rid of some players. A lot of things happening out there at the Saints camp, and certainly no dull moments out there. A lot of things, moving parts, a lot of things going on, and we'll see what comes to fruition this Sunday as the Dirty Birds come to the Caesars Superdome. And it's rare that the Saints lose to the Falcons twice in 1 year. We're one down with the Falcons, so we'll see whether or not we can keep that going where we at least finish 1-1. All right, joining me now is Craig Jacquemine. He is the man here at Craig's Electrical and Generator Service, always on the move, always trying to improve everything that they do. He and I have conversations periodically about management philosophies, policies, this, that. He's just a fun guy to talk to because he's always thinking out of the box. And it's always about making his customers happy first and foremost, and then his employees as well. And that's what I love about him. He's always thinking about others, and we certainly appreciate that. Craig, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Noel.
So, Craig, exciting news. You purchased Gen South, quadrupled the number of parts. You've got a bunch of folks that are here servicing. I walked into your warehouse. It looks like the same from the outside, and when I walked in the inside, I'm like, oh, my God, they added a whole nother floor.
Yeah, we added floors. We added more racks. We've done a lot, added a parts counter. You know, you see the TV right there. I mean, we're able to pull up parts. If a customer walks in, is this the part you want? You know, we use that TV for in the morning before we go out to each job. We review every job. But prior to going out there, lots of pictures. Prior to jobs. So, I mean, we take a lot of pride in what we do, as well as, you know, we address customers' concerns. Because, look, every home, every job has its own unique challenge. And the goal in that is to make sure that that challenge is met, and we make the customer happy. You know, so that's what we aim for every time.
So I know, you know, we come through this hurricane season. We had a couple of chances to test our equipment. And by the way, mine worked perfectly, flawlessly, without any issue at all, which makes me very, very happy. It's one of the few things in my house that works flawlessly. and without any problems at all. So we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty here. Hold on one second. Okay, much better. So we were excited about that. You know, able to talk to a number of friends that you put in generators for as well. They work flawlessly too. But with that in mind, what do you hear mostly from folks that come to you that maybe with other vendors may, you know, are contemplating things, or they talk to their neighbors about issues that they have?
So the biggest thing is communication, right? And look, we're always looking to improve our communication process. You know, we put new systems in where, you know, when we schedule an appointment, the homeowner immediately gets a text message with the date, the time, and who the technician will be arriving at their home, whether it's installation, you know, electrical service. So that's part of which we're improving. And that's what we hear a lot of. You know, it's more of a security thing, because when we send someone over to the home, there's a picture of the technician that's coming over. You know, and at the end of the day, these technicians that come out, they're going to be with that homeowner probably for the next 10-plus years, you know. So it's kind of like the Dave the Linux guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing where, you know, you see the same technician. That's what we want to do. You know, we treat our customers like their family. You know, we don't put one customer above another. I mean, we treat everybody equally. One thing that we noticed that when we bought Gen South was that they weren't really up to our where we were at as far as the warranties, the remote monitor on these generators. So that was a little bit of a challenge. You know, look, when we bought Gen South, the day of Hurricane Francine, that's when we actually were moving the material over to, you know, all the parts and everything from the original location of Gen South over to us the day of the hurricane. So, I mean, you know, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, we were just leaving the shop. And, you know, the next day is when we started getting an influx of phone calls. And when those calls came in, we didn't even know who our customers were yet. And one of them was Langenstein's, the grocery store, you know. And you know, we met with them, and we actually just swapped the generator out for them. We did it last Friday. So we swapped the generator out for them for their grocery store. So what we were told was that the fact that we are – communicating with that customer, they call, we answer immediately. We have 24-hour service, you know. So being able to offer those services that, you know, not knocking the company before, but at the same time, you know, they had little challenges as well. Now, when it came to purchasing Gen South, that's where I started at. You know, I used to buy all my parts, because I wasn't a Generac dealer. I was just an installer, right, a technician. So I would go there and buy my parts and buy generators, right? And one of the ladies, Miss Erin, worked there for 16 years, and she left there 2 years ago to come work with, you know, work for us. And we were only open for 2 years. And, you know, I would always tell Miss Erin, "Hey, Miss Erin, one day we're going to own Gen South. We're going to own that company. It's going to be ours one day. You know, you took the chance to come over to us. We're going to own that company one day." And when the opportunity was available, I jumped on it. You know, you know, the thing is with Gen South, people don't realize that this company has been crucial for the last 18 years in the New Orleans metro area as far as generator parts, having the parts not only available for residential, but for industrial and commercial generators as well. And they were known for parts. That was one thing they were known for. So if that company just kind of went away when we'd have a hurricane, you would feel it. No one would really probably know it was Gen South that was, you know, gone and hey, we can't get parts. It's going to take 2 weeks. Now they can have parts immediately. I mean, the day of that, you know, the day of Hurricane Francine, you know, we got a phone call from a Gen South customer, and was forwarded to us. And Christian, our field coordinator, and I were literally in rain. We got a video of it. We're laughing because it was, you know, I haven't been out there in the field in a while, but we were literally out there soaking rain. I had a guy call. He says, "Look, Craig, whatever you can do, I'm in trouble." I said, "What's going on?" He says, "Well, I'm in Vegas, and my wife's at home, and the generator's out. And I'm in trouble."
Yeah, that's trouble. Sure.
So I said, "Let's see what we
can
do."
Been there before I met you. Done that.
Yep. So on the way back to our home, Christian and I, stopped at this customer's house and was a bad battery. Swapped the battery out. I mean, and look, that right there is the reason why I'm in this business. You know, it's when you see, you know, the satisfaction. Look, Drew Brees, love Drew Brees. He won, you know, won a Super Bowl. But if it came to Drew Brees and your house getting power on, they're going to pick us over Drew Brees.
Ain't no doubt about
so,
that.
So you have that. You have that. That feeling of accomplishment, you know, when you see a family walking outside and they got power in their home and they're thanking you. I mean, it's like you're the superhero, you know, and that feeling you can't – it's hard to replicate, you know, and that's reminding me of why I do this and why I wake up every day, you know. So.
Now, the one thing about generators, not unlike a lot of other pieces of equipment, some of the most significant advances are kind of the stuff around the generator, right,
mm-hmm.
the monitoring of
yep.
it. You've already gone through a couple of iterations of improvements. You've brought all your customers up to
yep.
the most recent level for that very purpose, because there's more you can monitor. There's more notifications, more seamless operation. That's what I love about it. I
yep.
mean, you know, y'all know what's going on, and y'all tell me something about it before I even recognize it.
Yeah, and that's the advantage of having the monitoring service, right? So. On our industrial generators, you know, with our Generac generators, we stay with Fleet. But then when we go into the industrial world, commercial, and other brands besides Generac, whether it's Kohler or Briggs & Stratton or, you know, or Texan or whatever, we use a new system called OmniMetrics. And that system is really good because, you know, when we're dealing with nursing homes and other type of medical facilities, there are certain reports that the fire marshal is looking for. And being able to, we can actually toggle the reports that the fire marshal is looking for. Fire marshal shows up, you know, for an inspection. You know, if they can't find the paperwork, they can go straight to OmniMetrics and print this out. Or we can print out, or we can, you know, have that and actually email it to the customer immediately.
Right.
Yeah, so there is an advantage of that. But then also, what I like to do, and, you know, most people call me crazy when I say this, is it avoids call-outs, unnecessary call-outs, right? And you know, people think, well, I'll get a call out. Call outs are never good, number one, because it's usually you're on one side of Louisiana, it seems like, and somebody else is on the other side. You get a call out, right? And, you know, we're able to do troubleshooting with that homeowner and kind of have them go out and be the eyes and ears in the field for us. And what that does is sometimes, look, it can be as simple as just a toggle switch that's off on back in the generator. It's a remote kill switch, right? And sometimes, you know, kids will bump it, or somebody's cutting grass, they bump. Sometimes a switch will go bad, right?
Right.
But we can have a homeowner go out there, and we can walk them through something simple and say, okay, you're back up and running. We see it on the screen. You're good to go. Green light's on. Yep, okay, you're good. That'll avoid $175 call-out fee, you know,
right.
And that's what we want to avoid. We don't like call-outs, I'm going to be honest with you. And that's where the advantage of having the system in, because, you know, the average cost to monitor the year is like $99, right? Think of a call out, it's $175.
Right. Yeah.
So and we work with these homeowners with that. You know?
A great ROI. It is a piece of equipment at the end of the day,
yep.
right?
Yep.
You never know when things are going to happen. But the stronger the relationship between you and the customer, the more information that can pass
yep.
About what to expect with the utilization of your generator is incredibly important, and
yeah.
people develop a comfort level. I know I have.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, look, it's as simple as just going out there and checking the oil on these machines, right, or changing the oil, right? We want educated homeowners. Educated homeowners are our best friend, you know, because if you have a homeowner that can go out there, check the oil, change the oil, that's one less person that we have to focus on, where we can focus on, you know, other repairs for other people, you know, and that's what we like to do, you know, and you know, we have a bunch of information, even from the initial installation, from the sales, when the salesman goes out there, we have a folder, and that folder is just chock-a-block with information from financing to, you know, how do you determine what size generator. We have top 10 questions pre-sale, top 10 post-sale. We have training videos, and we give that all to the homeowner prior to that, is that way that they have this information, you know. And then when the job's done and we go to do the startup, the technician does a very thorough walkthrough with the homeowner so that they understand the machine. They understand the limitations of this machine. And that way, this machine's just not a piece of metal that's sitting out in the yard that they don't understand and how to use. We don't want homeowners afraid, or we don't want homeowners not to understand how to use that machine. You know, so.
Craig, how important is the size of the generator? I mean, I think a lot of people probably purchase a generator and they just go get the biggest one that they can afford.
Yeah, that's actually not good. So, you know, you want to see a generator. We try to get the generator sized up to about 80% of the capacity of what that generator is rated for. And what that does is that it allows any type of, you still have a 20% in there. So if something starts up suddenly or something turns on that's normally, you know, if it overamps a little bit, you have that room so it doesn't shut down the generator. Now, the next thing is that, you know, when it comes to, like, diesel generators, you know, too big of a generator actually causes what they call a wet stack, right? And that's where, you know, you start seeing the generator kind of act silly. You know, it's not running right. It'll run right for a while, but eventually over time, it's not going to be able to push out all the exhaust, and it's called a wet stack, and you start seeing the black smoke come out, even right. though you might have def in there, you know, to actually clean up the diesel exhaust. It still will bypass that because it's just it's too much soot and stuff. So having the generator that's too big can be a problem too. So every unit that we sell, we do a load calculation. So that load calculation is submitted. Now, some parishes want the load calculation and some don't, but every generator we sell has a load calculation on it. And we always tell the homeowner, look, if you know everything you agreed upon as proposal, you know, as far as running, if you know you want to run the oven, you want to run the dishwasher, you want to run the entire home, you know, three air conditioners or whatever you want to run, whatever is in that load calculation, we guarantee that generator will be able to run. If it doesn't, you know, our motto is that, look, we will give you the next size up at absolutely no additional cost on us, right? You know how many times we've done that? None. Right. So that's how confident we are in with the products that we sell. And it's not just selling Generac. It's selling other brands as well. And that's one thing that, you know, we actually have the industrial side. So we have Gen South, but we also have Craig's Industrial Generator Service. And the industrial side allows us to sell other brands besides Generac. You know, we sell Texan, we sell High Power, we sell Gillette, we sell Kohler, we'll sell Briggs & Stratton. So it gives us more options on the other side because, you know, with Craig's Electrical, that is a wholly Generac business right there. It's right. You know, so we stay with that because of co-op dollars. But, we've seen that once we started being able to offer options, our business just really took off, you know. Yeah. And you know, our customer base even started growing, you know, because you get kind of limited on different type of brands of generators where someone wants a certain brand. And if you're not able to offer that, but what we started noticing was that they would go get another installer to put this whatever brand they wanted, and then we would take over the maintenance. Right. We'd take over the generator after it was installed. And I said, you know what? That's not really good. Let's start going with options. And so far, it's been successful. Like, I brought you over to our industrial side, and you've seen that board that's sure. full of jobs, you know, Absolutely. All over. And, you know, one of the jobs we won, which was, you know, we won a $500,000 job with the Louisiana Supreme Court, right? And that's one of the biggest jobs that we won, and that's putting a Kohler in. Right. So being able to be flexible and being able to install these different type of units, that's what we do.
Absolutely. All right, we got to get to a break. 504-260-1870. We're at Craig's Electrical and Generator Service at 1322 24th Street. They're ready, folks. If you want to come on out and ask some questions, they've got their live trailer set up. You can see how generators actually add up, and you can also enter to win two tickets to the LSU game on November the 9th and the Saints game on November the 10th, which is tomorrow and Sunday. LSU versus Alabama, Saints versus the Atlanta Falcons. Come on by. You can win a couple of tickets to that as well, and also eat and drink. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are here at Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. You just heard the whole menu of items that they have here. And come out and try to win the tickets to the Saints Falcons, LSU Alabama, right here at Craig's Electrical and Generator Service at 1322 24th Street. Joining us on the line, the Mike Haas, the voice of the New Orleans Saints. Mike, I don't even know where to start. There's so much that has happened since the last time you and I spoke. It's not a chapter right. of a book. It's like the whole book.
Yeah, it was you know, all we did on Monday and Tuesday was, you know, get rid of a coach, you know, release a coach, release a first-round draft pick, pick a new president. You know, so, you know, that was Monday and Tuesday. So it's been – and then, you know, Darren Rizzi, from the second he had the job, you know, it's change. You know, not massive changes, but just – I mean, if he could change it, it was going to be changed, whether it's cosmetic or he felt – it had, you know, true value. And I think, you know, kind of rearranging the locker room makes perfect sense. And, you know, is it a to help you win a game? No. But if everybody's kind of hearing, if you're in there addressing the team and you got people scattered all around the building, it doesn't really help. So, you know, he said it when he got the, you know, was named interim, that he's just not going to hold the reins. I'm not here to just hold on to something. And if there were three games left in the season, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But there's eight. Eight. Yeah. And so it's a full half season to try to, you know, and, you know, you're a month at home. Most of your games in the finals, in the back end, are at home. So, man, but I will say, like we have said for 7 weeks, just win one. Just we stop, forget the eight. Let's just win one.
So this game, we've been saying this for weeks, it's a big game. The Saints rarely, it's been a long time since they lost twice to the Falcons, so they're one down this year so far. This is the game that they can bring it even. What do we expect to see from the 6-3 Falcons?
God, that's to me, that is the question, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot of Saints injuries in the wide receiver room, and, you know, who knows, you know, I feel like the key is going to be Atlanta's offense and their run game and their pass game against the Saints defense. If the Saints defense cannot stop Bijan Robinson, and they are focusing him more and more and more each week. He had almost half of their plays in the first half last week against Dallas. He touched the ball. So he is, you know, just a different focus. Now, when you look at Atlanta, like you just look at their overall team comparison. If they're 6-3, you're like, wow, that must be, you know, and from an NFL statistical point, it must be great. They're in the top 10 in just two categories: pass yards per game, total yards per game. So they're not, they're 20, 23, 20, 20, 29. They're not like these, you know, massive teams that come in and just blow people away. They've had two games where they just have just gone and lit it up. And one of them was right after they played the Saints. So then Saints, in week four, the Atlanta offense produced zero touchdowns. And then they went to week five and played Tampa Bay, and Kirk Cousins was 42 of 58 for 509 yards, four touchdowns, and an interception. 509. They played him again, and he threw another four touchdowns. So they've beaten Tampa twice, right? They've beaten Carolina once. They've beaten us once. They're 4-0 in the division, and they're basically done, right? After they play us, they'll have one game left in the division, and that's Carolina at the end of the season, just like the Saints. Saints play Atlanta on Sunday. They're done in the division until they play Tampa in January of 2025. It's a weird kind of schedule. I don't know what the NFL was thinking, because you have some teams out there, Pittsburgh, Chicago, they've not played a division game yet. None. Zero. So the back half of their schedules are going to be all division games. And Philly and Dallas, one division game. So it's just kind of weird that the NFC South, almost all of the games will be done here in the next couple of weeks until the final week of the season. And typically those games are either hugely important or they mean nothing.
But Mike, where are we? You mentioned injuries earlier. Where are we? And let's focus on the offensive line first.
So they get back to practice anyway. They get Eric McCoy. I don't, you know, this kind of opens up a window of when, you know, there's a 21-day window from when he can kind of start practicing to where you kind of have to do something. Shane Lemieux, same situation. He has been back full practicing. McCoy was limited, so I don't think you'll see McCoy play this week. Lucas Patrick, I don't think you're going to see play. He has not practiced this week because of an ankle. We'll wait and see today. So, but I feel, even that being said, they've kind of weathered the storm a little bit on the offensive line. I feel like you could get Shane Lemieux back and kind of he plays in place of Patrick and maybe guard or Connor McGovern or center. So I feel like it's not in great shape, but you're worse in other places. You're worse at wide receiver. You're not going to have Cedric Wilson. You're not going to have Chris Olave. Okay, so if you look at the wide receiver room for the Saints, if you in that situation, you have Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He has one reception for 5 yards. Wilson out, Olave out. Equanimeous St. Brown is on the practice squad. You feel like you're probably going to bring him up. You have Jermaine Jackson, who has not had a target. He had a run. And then you have Mason Tipton. So you feel like on the practice squad they have Kevin Austin, Equanimeous St. Brown, and Dante Pettis. You know, so they're kind of struggling there. When you take out an Olave and a Cedric Wilson, you're going to be looking for guys, to step up, and they haven't really had a whole lot of time playing. And Jamal Williams, you know, he's still limited. So the running back room to me, if you give me Alvin Kamara, Taysom Hill, and Jordan Mims, I'm fine, and Adam Prentice. You know, you give me, you know, I'd like to have Jamal, but I don't think he's going to be up. It's a groin injury. And so I'm not as worried about the running back room as long as you give me Alvin and Taysom. You can do a lot. But that wide receiver room, you know, it's going to be, we say this all the time, heavy tight ends because your wide receivers are just kind of banged up or somebody's got to step up. And, you know, Valdez-Scantling knows the system a little more now than he did. I think it's his third week. And so, you know, expect more out of him. Equanimeous St. Brown, it's his seventh year in the league, right? He's 6'5". He's the exact kind of target that the Saints have talked about needing. So, you know, he's still on the practice squad. I'm just moving him up because you got to move somebody.
So I know that we've also struggled a little bit with the defensive backfield. That's been an issue. Where do we stand there?
Yeah, it's kind of feast or famine. So from an injury standpoint, I mean, obviously Marshawn's gone. Kool-Aid is not going to play again. He hasn't practiced yet with his hamstring. Rico Payton is limited. He didn't play last week. So I think you'll probably get Rico back this week. And I think you'll have an opportunity to get Will Harris, who is on IR, but his window is open. And he was full practice. And so you're better now than you were last week. You didn't have Marshawn. You didn't have Kool-Aid. And you didn't have Rico Payton. But, man, Shamar Jean-Charles came up pretty strong. You know, they brought up Miller Bradford. I mean, it just, you know, guys that you were not anticipating playing. And I never thought I would say, man, we got to get Rico Payton back. Like, right? Rico Payton was a stretch, I thought, back in camp to make the team. And he's a tough kid, and he's done everything you want. But I didn't think that in week 10 I'd be going, man, we got to get Rico Payton back. We got to get Rico Payton. But I really felt the DBs played pretty well last week.
What is obviously we didn't struggle offensively. We just struggled scoring points at the right time, made mistakes, and it seemed to never could get into a rhythm for whatever reason. And that's been happening for a couple of games. Any sense of, you know, what's happening there? Is it just the constant changes, not stability? You know, with players and. I don't know. It's just
yeah,
been kind
and
of...
I think you lose a lot. I think you lose Olave early, right? So you lose Olave early, and then Cedric Wilson actually got hurt in that game. So if you take them off of your board, now you're looking at Valdez-Scantling, Jermaine Jackson, and Mason Tipton. Those were your main three last week, and so you were really forced to run the ball, which they did enormously well. What killed them, in my estimation, is the first two drives, the first three drives. They get down into the red zone and end up having to kick short field goals, 29 and 33. That's an extra point. If your red zone offense can punch those in and you're up 14-0, the Carolina calls it a day, right? They call it a day. They're like, there we go again. You know, another loss, you know, but you didn't. And so in the second quarter, they score a touchdown. And all of a sudden, you dominated everything, and you're down 7-6. And so this team is not good enough to squander opportunities. And so when you get down there, you've got to punch it in for 7, because that is exactly what happens, right? Now, again, they still took the lead late, but just couldn't stop when they had to. And then, you know, had the ball with a chance to go down and time to kick a field goal, but just – you know, can't, you know, then a lot of people question the play call, or who knows if it's a play call or that's Derek Carr, you know, the deep pass on fourth down. It just seemed like an all or nothing kind of play. But so they're going to have to run the ball, and they cannot trade field goals for touchdowns with Atlanta, because Atlanta has the potential to put a ton of points on the board. They don't always do it. It's feast or famine for them, but they have the potential without offense and Drake London and Darnell Mooney and Kyle Pitts, right, and Bijan, man, they can move it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. You've talked a lot about what's happened this week. I mean, there's been a lot happen. I ran into some Saints officials at a function last night. I was just kind of teasing with them. I said, nothing going on by you guys, right? They just started laughing. What do you see as the psyche of the fans right now?
I think so. Well, first off, I'm glad that it's Atlanta, right? It's coming in, and it's a first-place team. They've already beaten the Saints, and so I think that helps to get kind of the fans. If this were Cleveland, right, I don't know that we'd have kind of the passion. And I think they're curious to see what it looks like. Right? It's not just a Saints head coach, you know. It's that he also called the plays defensively. So now you have Joe Woods calling the plays. Everybody kind of has to shift. So you have Joe Woods and Marcus Robertson, who they're doing the game, the pass game plan. And then you have Brian Young and Mike Hodges doing the run game. And Todd Grantham, who was kind of a defensive line coach, is now kind of in an advisory role with Joe Woods. So, you know, Joe said it best. He goes, you know what? Three deep is three deep. Cover two is cover two. But yeah. Dennis's system, he does things a little different from a pressure package than maybe I will. So I think that's the kind of subtle differences. The schemes are the schemes. You're not going to wholeheartedly come in and gut your defensive game plan, but maybe you do things differently. Maybe they do more pressure. Maybe there's a different way that they can stop the run up the middle. You know, I don't know. I think that's where we're kind of feeling like, let's see what this defense looks like, because this is the side of the football we did not talk a lot about during training camp of being problematic. It was all offense. Now, we didn't know the defensive injuries with Paulson Adebo and trade Marshawn Lattimore.
Mike, I'm gonna have to, interrupt you because I got to get out to a break. I just didn't realize about the clock, and I apologize. But we look forward to listening to you and Deuce on Sunday. Have a great game.
Thank you, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Okay, man. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Stay with us. All right, folks, don't forget, we got that LSU-Alabama game on Saturday. Tiger fans, LSU 6-2, Alabama 6-2. They meet in Death Valley tomorrow. Our coverage starts at 2 o'clock. You can join Mike Tatilier and Herb Tyler for the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, live from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge, presented by MAP Construction. Always a great time, Mike and Herb. Acme has 16 surround sound TVs, great drink specials, plus life's more fun with seafood. Catch LSU pregame at 4:30. Kickoff with Chris Blair and Jacob Hester at 6:30. Tigers versus Crimson Tide. 9 hours of exciting LSU football coverage starting tomorrow at 2 p.m. on WWL. And you can pick it up on that free Odyssey app as well. We've got a lot more coming your way. We're going to visit with Steve Scalise when we come back after the top of the hour news break, as well as Andronika Morris. We'll talk about the thing that passed on the ballot initiative that passed in the city, where 2% of the budget goes for affordable housing. And we'll also visit with U.S. Representative Troy Carter, as well as Dr. Melissa Roussel in the 12 o'clock hour. Got a lot coming your way. A lot of football. Saints versus the Dirty Birds in the Caesar Superdome this weekend as well. So many things going on at the Saints organization. It's hard to keep track of it. If you'd have thought back to last week and someone said, this is what's happening next week, people would have had you committed. So, you know, none of that was anything that I thought was going to happen for sure, but it did. And we'll see what happens from here. We'll be right back. Stay with us.